Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, obviously we have a lot of big things happening. Wow. Why am I listening to another show? That's weird. Okay, I'm going to assume everything's fine, because I just heard an old show starting to play over me. I'm live. Hey, Kim. So Kim's my producer over in Winston-Salem. Seth, of course, is here with me in Raleigh, North Carolina, in my secure and undisclosed location. Kim on the screen. Are we cool right now? Am I like live on the radio? Because I was just hearing an old show from a Thursday, which kind of totally threw me off and confused me. So that's my question. So Kim, if you can, I assume you can hear me. So can you put on the screen, like, are we live right now? Are we cool? Are we good? Because I was hearing that. Okay, I am. All right, excellent. Okay, so we're going to talk about what's going on. Sidney Powell, great attorney, has been out there, just an incredible prosecutor and stuff. But she's all over this Trump re-election situation. So I've got several stories I want to talk about that. But let's not forget, that's on the national level, but let's not forget on the local level, there's things going on all over the country as a result of COVID. There's a lot more needs now, and I'm not talking just COVID related directly, like people getting sick. I'm talking about people that are struggling to put food on the table. And those issues have been a problem in this country for a while, but they are particularly worse and egregious now in 2020. So a reminder that not everything is national or international, that we have local issues too. One of the ministries here in Raleigh, North Carolina, whether you live here or not, but I hope you'll support them, North Raleigh Ministries, right there on the front lines dealing with this. And it's a reminder, whether you live here or not, again, I hope that you'll contribute and be a part of what God is doing through this particular ministry, North Raleigh Ministries. But wherever you're at, look into the local organizations, ministries that do this kind of work, because they're all struggling to help folks, because it's worse now than it was a year ago. Donna Pygut's back on the show. She's the executive director of North Raleigh Ministries. It's great to hear from you again, Donna. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. So tell us what's going on. I know we've got an update and the needs are great and even more challenging than last year. And then let us know how we can help.
Most definitely. So there is a fairly urgent need in North Raleigh. And a lot of people think that North Raleigh is exempt from poverty. But what we have seen already during some months is up to a 500% increase in the number of families seeking food assistance.
Man.
And at the end of October, we had already provided about 550,000 pounds of food to our service area, which is almost double than what we did at the same time. Well, it's more than double probably of what we did the same time last year and almost of what we did last year. So the need is growing, and we actually expect it to keep growing on into 2021.
Yeah, and we see that. I mean, the number of people that are susceptible to famine worldwide went from 130 million to 260 million. And you guys normally do 325,000 pounds of food and other household supplies a year. And it's those numbers are staggering.
Right.
And for those of you that don't know, North Raleigh here in the Raleigh area is a pretty nice part of town. I mean, it's very desirable, upper income, but yet those needs are out there. And so what are you guys doing to help all these folks, Donna? Because I know the need is enormous.
So basically, North Raleigh Ministries, we have the only fully stocked food pantry serving the North Raleigh community, and we've been really stepping up to ensure that no one goes hungry during this most challenging time. We've also, with supporting families, about 6,000 neighbors in need have received food assistance from us. We're also providing additional kid-friendly food support for families that have children learning at home. So that need has increased. And then just providing the holiday meals, which many of us are used to doing. And so many are unable to do that this year because of the pandemic. And so, you know, long term, we do help with equipping families to better prepare to achieve long-term stability and sustainable living over time. But right now, we're really just focused on hunger and making sure that that needs met in our community.
Yeah, and you mentioned all the
kids. That's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah, and you mentioned it's so important to all the kids that are home from school, and that's just yet another domino lining up behind COVID, which I didn't even think about with respect to this, that they're usually at school eating lunch, and now they're home all the time. And, of course, younger kids and teenagers tend to eat. If there's food around, they're going to eat. I hadn't even really thought of that. So it's just amazing that the amount of the needs has grown that much. And are you seeing people, Donna, at North Raleigh Ministries that normally, like a year ago, wouldn't been a quote-unquote the type of folks that needed that type of help?
Exactly. And that's what's happening. I continue to watch our parking lot and really kind of watch what's coming in and out, because everything's curbside. We do everything safely and appropriately distanced while still being very much in relationship with people on the phone or as much as we can, even in the parking lot. But we are seeing families come in, middle income, maybe two income earners. Mom or dad is leaving their job out of, you know, no choice because they have to be home with their younger children. And so they're trying to live on one income, savings are running dry, and we have medical crisis. So a lot is really going on here on the ground that I don't think is really getting as much attention as it probably needs to help us continue to serve strongly in our community and also looking over the next year, considering how the pandemic is slowly moving along.
Yeah, that's so alarming. So, Donna, how can, I mean, most of people listening to you right now, we're followers of Christ. We know we're called to help the people that are outside of comfort and being the ability to help themselves. We know that's a command from Christ himself. So how can we be a part of what God's doing? How can we help?
So there's a couple of ways people can get involved. Our biggest need is monetary donations, quite frankly. If people would love to give, they can visit our website at NorthRaleighMinistries.com. Feel free to look around, but there's a donate button there. It's easy. But we also need volunteers. So our volunteer pool is down by 50%.
Wow.
So if anyone's willing to really kind of serve and be the hands and feet on the ground in this ministry, we would love to have them check out our website under the Get Involved tab and volunteer opportunities. And, you know, come also, if you can, and shop our thrift shop. So that's an income source for us as well.
Yeah, a lot of different options there. NorthRaleighMinistries.com. I'll keep talking about it during the show, and I'll keep talking about it between now and Thanksgiving. And thanks so much for calling in and helping us understand what's going on, and we're going to do what we can to help, Donna. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Steve. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And we'll be right back. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show with Music I Don't Recognize. Some challenges there. So Facebook Live is a little bit different than radio today. And like, I didn't hear the intro music, but we know the clock. And so the clock is really what we run things by. But it's great to be with you again. Whether you're here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'm at, or not, NorthRaleighMinistries.com is a website you can go to be a part of the solution. As she was mentioning, Donna was mentioning this, Piget, who's the executive director there, they've already given out almost twice as much food as they did last year at this time. Because COVID has created more problems than just the small number of people relative to the size of the country, and especially when you get into the age stratus, the age brackets, COVID has, and our reaction to it has been, in many ways, way more devastating than the disease itself. And one of those things that's happened is all these kids staying home, one parent having to stay home all of a sudden, if they can, losing that income, kids are eating more at home. So people that are living in poverty or very low income all of a sudden are really struggling to put food on the table. That's why in this particular case, and this is not particular to North Raleigh or Raleigh or North Carolina, this is happening all over the country. This is, in fact, happening all over the world. I talked about this several months ago. I was doing a lot of shows talking about all these dominoes lining up behind COVID-19, the disease itself, and that they're just going to continue to fall for years. Normally, there's about 130 million people on the planet that are famine vulnerable. And then this year, because of COVID, it jumped up twice, up to 260 million people facing famine. It doubled because of what's going on with the COVID response and shutting. That's why if you want to go buy a, by the way, you want to go buy a dishwasher or a refrigerator or something at Best Buy, you might find that you're not going to get that thing till February. I mean, COVID's just messed up because of our reaction and all these shutdowns, which are coming back, just crazy. So if I have any time, I'll talk about COVID when we get towards the end of the show, if I have any time. But I did want to focus a little bit, something that we need to be praying about. And we talked about it yesterday with kind of what was going on with that Trump rally. And my friend Cindy Watko called in, who is up there. And she, if you didn't hear that, she encountered after the rally and everything, just having a dinner, early dinner at a restaurant there in D.C., and some, cops kill blue lives or whatever. One of these crazy protesters showed up and just screaming at her. And she goes, you know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Yeah, yeah. Blank this. Blank Jesus. And that's the kind of opposition that's out there. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on. And so this is very spiritual in nature. When we're talking about what's going on with the election and the election follow-up. And by the way, the clock is ticking because based on statutory restrictions, the law of the United States, if we're still a nation of laws, then December 9th, the electors have to report on December, talking about electors from the Electoral College, which is who you picked when you voted, by the way. And then on December 14th, they actually take the count from them, and then they read that in Congress. Actually, Mike Pence will read that as the president of the Senate, like January 3rd, January 4th, and then, of course, inauguration on January 20th. So the fat lady really doesn't sing statutorily until December 9th to 14th, somewhere in there. So you've got all this stuff going on, and yes, it's important, obviously, okay? It's important on the Trump-Biden level, but it's actually way more important than that. It's much bigger than that on a survival of the United States as a representative republic level. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to take you some of these stories just to show you what's going on out there and some of the things that they're discovering. And just to set it up, I've got a great story that just came out from the American Spectator by Scott McKay. Hurry up with that Kraken, will you? And so what's the Kraken? We'll get into that. You might have heard that. Release the Kraken. Okay, and Sidney Powell, who's an outstanding prosecutor and a great attorney, who is Michael Flynn's attorney, and she's gotten involved with the Trump team. And I want to take you through all this, but we're talking about the survival of the nation, because if you cannot trust the election process, especially at a federal level, senators, House of Representatives, and especially at the president, and people are getting into office and getting into power that actually didn't win, that actually didn't qualify under the Electoral College rules of the United States Constitution, you no longer have a representative republic. You don't have an America. What you have is something else. What you have is a cross between the American experiment and a banana republic. Because then what do? Then people don't bother to vote, and it gets worse. You're not going to get an uprising from a lot of people. You're going to get more apathy. So this just leads to more and more destruction on a human level. And all of this is spiritual. Spiritual forces of darkness want chaos. What does Satan come here to do? Kill, steal, and destroy, which is exactly what you get as you release more and more chaos. Just go look at your average Antifa, Proud Boys, kind of BLM gone south situation with rioting and looting and destruction. That's what you get. And that sounds a lot like lawlessness, i.e. the man of lawlessness. So as we move further away from a Judeo-Christian driven understanding of governance, which is what the Constitution provides, you get more and more chaos, which is destructive, kill, steal, and destroy, and affects human beings made the image of God, which we should be caring about deeply, primarily from a gospel perspective, but also from their current perspective. Jesus ministered into people's current situations. He didn't just talk about heaven and hell. He ministered into their current situation. And so that's what we need to be about, our Father's business. So you need to, I need to, be praying regularly over this process right now. Because whether Trump's in office or not on January 20th, this is a bigger issue than that, believe it or not. I know it might not feel like it, but it is. We're talking about the future of the nation, which, listen, I'm 54. So what? Let's say I've got another 35 years. We're talking about the United States of America collapsing. And we won't be able to leave the America of our experience to our kids and grandkids. And that matters. That's our posterity. That's on us. That's like being a watchman on the wall in Ezekiel. And if you don't sound the alarm and you don't engage, then the blood of the victims is on you. By the way, that's the same thing on the life issue. So a little reminder, this Saturday is week 40 with our friends at Love Life. I'll be out there here in Raleigh, Greensboro, down in Charlotte, a bunch of other cities, New York City. But that's an opportunity for you to come out, because if Biden's the next president, all the pro-life gains of the Trump administration over these 4 years, they're going to be gone in a day. Literally. They will reverse everything, including adding $50 to $60 million back into Planned Parenthood's coffers within days of him ascending into the presidency, which means our fight for life isn't going to get easier. It's going to get harder. Okay, we had some advances, but if Trump doesn't get back in, that's all going to get reversed immediately. So my question is, and I've said this before, like out of the book of James, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do, James said. Not that works get you into heaven, but if you're heaven bound, if you're born again, then works should verify the fact that you've been changed. Okay, you have a kingdom mindset. So same thing with pro-life. Show me your pro-life faith by what you say, rather than showing us our pro-life faith by what we do. Well, you can do something this Saturday, and then this is the last Saturday of the year for Love Life, lovelife.org, to get more details starting at 9 a.m., and then we'll be back in February. And it's only going to get harder. So the question is, do you shrink away? Do you just invest more in yourself, in your safety, in your apathy? Now, forget it, it's all going to go to hell anyway, Steve. I read the end of the book, and in the end, we win. Well, that's abandonment theology. I used to subscribe to that, but it's a violation of God love and neighbor love. You don't get out of it. No, we carry that cross, that burden, and we should do it out of love for God and love for neighbor until we go home to be with the Lord. So that really matters. So when we come back, I'm going to start unpacking these stories here, and we're going to pray together before we get off the air. Usually I don't pray with you guys until we hit at the end of the show on Facebook Live, but we're going to pray on the air together over this election, over this process, because it sure looks like there's all kinds of darkness going on in the election process around the country. I'm going to share those stories with you. We'll pray in and out of that. And then I've got about a 5-minute clip from Sidney Powell, who's one of the lead attorneys, who's just discovering things that are terribly disturbing and mind-blowing. She was on with Lou Dobbs the other day. You got to hear that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. There we go, my regular outro music. I feel so much better. So stay with me. We're going to engage this stuff and learn and be a part of the solution rather than sitting on the sidelines. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Okay, let's get into this, because I want to get to this Sidney Powell clip, which is 5 minutes long. Okay, that's really bad radio, but it's really important content, so I don't care if it's bad radio. If it's true and it's important, I'm going to play it. I don't really get that sensitive to the length of clips, or if I read a whole article, you shouldn't do that. Well, so what? We all need to be better at consuming information. We have to be more educated, not less. Trump gets nearly twice as many votes as Biden out of 2,600 ballots found in Georgia. What's operable there? Nearly twice as many votes. Okay, that's important. 2,600 ballots. Okay, that's important. Found in Georgia. So you should go, found? Like, where were they? President Donald Trump closed the gap on Democrat Joe Biden's lead in Georgia on Monday by nearly 800 votes after edging out Biden by a nearly 2-to-1 ratio in a batch of 2,600 ballots that were discovered in Floyd County. Gabriel Sterling, who oversaw the implementation of the new statewide election system for the state, it didn't work, said that the unofficial breakdown of ballots was 1,600 for Trump, 865 for Biden. The mistake happened because election officials reportedly missed uploading a memory card containing the votes to a ballot counting machine. Oops. Officials were quick to caution, the CYA, cautioned that the additional votes for Trump were not enough to change the outcome of the presidential election at the state, if in fact they were the only ones. But that's 2,600 out of millions. So see what they do there? Oh, this is not going to change anything. Well, that's one particular isolated incident. What if there's 20 incidents like this? Well, that's a big change. That you start making up. Because Trump's, Biden's up by like 14,000 votes in Georgia. So you have mistakes like that, tenfold, 20-fold, and it's a new game. Same thing in Pennsylvania, same thing in Michigan, same thing in Arizona. That's why this is important. You just go, one big giant thing? No, a bunch of little things. It's like death by 1,000 cuts, okay? Attorney Sidney Powell, who we're going to hear from, a great clip in a minute, drops a massive bomb. We've identified 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden. Huh? During an interview on Fox News with Marita Bartiromo, Attorney Sidney Powell dropped a massive bomb as she laid out the legal battle. Powell claims that she has, quote, identified over 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate. Do you understand what that means? So like here in North Carolina, when I got my ballot, man, it was front and back. Probably 30 different things on there. So you're telling me you had 450,000 ballots and the only thing they touched on the entire ballot was a little circle for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That's it. They didn't vote a single other, not a single other Democrat. Right. They're going to go in and vote for Biden and not a single other Democrat. Okay. 100. But 450,000. She went on to say, I think they need to investigate the likelihood that 3% of the vote changed due to pre-election ballots collected digitally by using the hammer and scorecard programs, which I'm going to get to here in a second. Here's another one. This is interesting. This is a little bit more of a global look at it based on House races. This is from the Daily Wire. Experts listed 27 House races as toss-ups. Republican won. Guess how many they won out of those 27? All 27. On Monday, Burgess Owens, a former NFL player and vocal critic of Colin Kaepernick, was declared the winner of Utah's 14th congressional district, praise the Lord, despite running against an incumbent and trailing by 11% in final polling. Owens prevailed in a race deemed a toss-up by Cook Political Report, a nonpartisan election and campaign analysis group, popular among legacy media outlets. Ahead of the 2020 election, Cook, this group, listed 27 races as toss-ups, meaning they were too close to predict one way or the other. Republicans won all 27. Things that make you go, That's not a typo, despite being assured by that conservatism was about to drown beneath the impending blue wave. Republicans won every single close race. Republicans also won all 26 races deemed leaning or likely Republican, and even picked up 7 of the 36 seats listed as leaning or likely Democrat. Despite nearly unanimous predictions that Democrats would further cement control of the House, they now hold just a 218-204 advantage, with Republicans poised to pick up more seats as they lead in 8 of the remaining 13 races. Blue wave, it turned into a red wave. What's going on there? But we don't reelect Donald Trump when there's a red wave on, across all this other stuff. Republican dominance is supposedly 50-50 districts is yet another reminder of just how wrong polls were in 2020 and how wrong they have been for some time. What should embarrass pollsters most, though, is not the fact that they were wrong, but how one-sided they were in the process, meaning it's all favoring Democrats. Huh. That's interesting. Okay, I want to play this clip. We have time if we do it quickly. Sidney Powell on with Lou Dobbs the other day talking about all this mess. Listen carefully, okay? This is a long clip, about 5 minutes.
Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, then the thumbprint would be tied to a record of the voter's name and identity of, as having voted, but that voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up but not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. Smartmatic agreed to create such a system and produce the software and hardware that accomplished the result for President Chavez. After the Smartmatic electoral management system was put in place, he closely observed several elections where the results were manipulated using the Smartmatic software. One such election was December 2006 when Chavez was running against Rosales. Chavez won with a landslide over Rosales, a margin of nearly 6 million votes for Chavez versus 3.7 million.
She's talking about this being used in Venezuela.
In 2013, he witnessed another Venezuelan national election where the Smartmatic management system was used to manipulate and change the results for Chavez. And it goes on and on. He was in the control room where multiple digital display screens were shown for results and voting. The actual voting results were fed into that room and onto the displays over an internet feed, which was connected to a sophisticated computer system created by Smartmatic. People in that room were able to see in real time whether the vote that came through the electronic voting system was in their favor or against them. If one looked at any particular screen, they could determine that the vote from any specific area or as a national total was going to be against either candidate. persons controlling the vote tabulation computer had the ability to change the reporting of votes by moving votes from one candidate to another by using the Smartmatic software.
And Smartmatic, the relation?
Smartmatic.
Yes, and Smartmatic, the chairman is Admiral Pete Neffinger, who is also transition team. That's an extraordinary situation as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic's machines used for voting in each state were connected to the Internet, reported their information over the Internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the Internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the result. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radonsky to Maduro. Then when they turned the Internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
Sydney, you tweeted earlier today about CIA and its association.
Here we go again.
Discovered there.
Well, other than the fact there's no way all this was happening over around and around the world without the CIA knowing about it. I mean, that's just logic. It's been this affidavit also explains it's been used to change election results all over the world. And it's all Venezuelan and Cuban and essentially communist money that's been doing this. It's a foreign-owned company, as you mentioned earlier. The president of it is Mr. Neffinger, who is on Biden's very presumptuous and immediately failing transition team. And people have been reporting this to our government for several years, including Democrats, and nobody's done a damn thing about it, Lou. I can't even express how furious I am over this.
Okay, so just so you know, Sidney Powell's a total heavy hitter. Okay, so go ahead and stop it. Sidney Powell is a total heavy hitter, an incredible background and resume. She doesn't go off half-cocked. She's not a hyperbole kind of person, meaning she doesn't communicate like the president, okay? And she doesn't say things unless it's real, because she knows the implications of that as she speaks publicly. And, you know, it's really easy, and just be honest, to just kind of get apathetic and go, they're never going to figure it out anyway. I haven't seen a Clinton in an orange jumpsuit perp walked yet, and they're going to get away with this again. Well, not necessarily, which is why we need to pray, which we're going to do together when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Some more comments about what you just heard. This is very dark, disturbing stuff. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Just ask my friends on Facebook Live during the commercial break. Scale 1 to 10, 10 being, I totally believe Donald Trump's going to be reelected, and 1 being, no, it's over. It's really all over the map. I think if I had to average it out, I'd say it's probably a 7, 6 or 7. So I have a lot of, probably a 6, because I have some a lot of people down on the lower. I mean, oh, me of little faith, I'm like a 3. But there's a 1 in there and a 4 and a 2, and but a lot of people are 6 and 7. A couple of the 8, so only time will tell, right? But we don't have a lot of time left to tell. December 9th, the electors are supposed to have their decision. And so when you go in and vote for president and vice president, you're actually choosing, they have two slates of electors, Republican and Democrat slates of electors in each state. Each state runs it differently, but this is essentially what happens. And so when you, if you went and voted for Trump, then you also gave your vote to a certain elector. And in a state like North Carolina where Trump won, then you're going to have more Trump electors than you do Biden electors. But then in North Carolina, 48 out of the 50 states are winner takes all. So if Trump wins the state by the regular vote of the people, then he's going to get 100% of those electoral college votes. Okay, so all of them would vote for Trump. So that's how that works, okay? That's December 9th where those votes have to be in. Then December 14th, they get certified. Okay, that's how this works. So the clock is ticking. So let me read you through this. Basically, we were just listening to that quote from Sidney Powell, who's on Trump's team, and outstanding D.C. lawyer, superstar D.C. lawyer, prosecutor. She's worked in five or six. Now she works in five or six different circuit courts of appeals. She's been before the Supreme Court. I mean, she's a powerhouse, all right? She's not out there just hyperbole. But this is from The American Spectator by Scott McKay. Hurry up with that Kraken, will you? Have you heard that yet? Release the Kraken, okay? So here we go. I never say anything I can't prove. That's a quote from Sidney Powell, the superstar D.C. lawyer representing the Trump campaign over the weekend as she made the rounds on cable news. Powell proceeded to drop several large bombs in those interviews and made a promise that has reverberated, particularly in conservative circles. She said she would soon, quote, release the Kraken, unquote. The Kraken is a legendary monster from the days of sailing ships. It's a giant squid reputed to wreck ships in the mid-Atlantic Ocean. And the most recent iteration of pop culture comes from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which is likely where Powell picked up her reference. What we do know is that Powell and the other members of the team, like Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and unofficially Lynn Wood, have been somewhat shockingly confident in the last few days, even despite the political winds blowing directly in their faces. Winds, admittedly, generated by giant fans set up by the same legacy media organs who have lined up against Trump in ways never seen before. He's talking about the mainstream media. When your news organization, for example, slants more than 90% of its features in a negative way toward the president, you can no longer be considered an objective news source. Amen. That's one reason Americans of faith in this country is founded should guard against fatalism and surrender as the results of the failed 2020 election are litigated, meaning those of us that were on that scale down closer to one, okay? You need to guard against that. We need to guard against that kind of thinking. These newsies are liars after all. The Washington Post proved it Sunday night with a story alleging Trump had dropped a key claim in its Pennsylvania lawsuit, which was 100% false. The cheery buoyancy of Powell, Giuliani, Ellis, Wood, and others is another reason. Still, those winds blow. Powell's Kraken had better be big and bad, Sidney Powell. According to her, though, it is. Over the weekend, Powell gave the broad outlines of a rather shocking, widespread conspiracy involving the electronic hacking of America's elections through a foreign-owned company called Dominion Voting Systems and a tabulation software from a company called Smartmatic, which was created in Venezuela. Because you can trust everything coming out of Venezuela. I mean, I get all my political news from there. And also another company known as SICTI, whose headquarters is in Barcelona, Spain. In fact, it's alleged the votes going into these systems were actually counted in Europe and then fed back here. If your first thought is that nothing created for Venezuelan elections should ever make its way to our shores, you are paying attention. Congratulations. The Dominion Smartmatic controversy is apparently related, though how we aren't quite sure, to a supercomputer named Hammer created by the NSA for signals intelligence purposes, and an application on that computer known as Scorecard, which is reportedly capable of rigging elections all over the world. And that shouldn't be news to you. Yes, Russia and China mess with our elections. We mess with a bunch of other people's elections and have for decades. Okay, that's not new. It's international espionage, okay? Whether Hammer and Scorecard use Smartmatic to hack into Dominion machines to flip Trump votes for Biden is a matter of speculation at present. Yes, it all sounds quite fanciful, like a John Grisham or John Le Carre novel come to life, and the temptation is to throw up one's hands and ask if these lawyers have lost their minds. Right? Have you struggled with that one? I have. On the other hand, back to the article, American politics has lost its immunity to fanciful conspiracy theories coming true. Let's remember that the left did everything it could to derail the Trump presidency by use of perhaps the most absurd conspiracy theory, this side of chemtrails. That the president colluded with Vladimir Putin to rig the 2016 election with $200,000 in Facebook ads. And it turned out the real conspiracy was as absurd as it was true. That a dossier full of quite ridiculous assertions bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign was used as a pretext for an ongoing outgoing presidential administration to turn the full investigative powers of the intelligence community and the Department of Justice onto a presidential campaign of an opposite party for the purposes of opposition research. It makes Watergate sound like penny ante burglary, doesn't it? So when Sidney Powell, again, I'm reading from this article in The American Spectator by Scott McKay, hurry up with that Kraken, will you? So it continues. Let me finish this. So when Sidney Powell says the companies controlling voting and vote counting in swing states, whose election results are peculiar at best and outright brazen in their fraud at worst, were complicit in a scheme to fix the 2020 election, it behooves the American public to at least listen to the evidence. What we know already isn't good. That British Lord Mark Malik Brown is involved with Smartmatic, given his long-standing Soros ties, isn't encouraging. Nor is it a good thing that Kamala Harris's husband, Douglas Emhoff, is involved with a Smartmatic spinoff, or that Peter Neffinger, a Smartmatic board member, is now a member of Biden's transition team. Wow, that's thick. The more you examine the players involved, and the more statistical analysis of the election you see, specifically in the hard-to-reconcile differences in voting results in Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit, Las Vegas, and Philadelphia compared to those in large cities not located in disputed states, and the more affidavits are filled containing eyewitness reports of brazen mishandling of ballots, the more this election begins to resemble the doctored frauds of Latin America, and the more disgraceful the whole thing becomes. There's a reason less than half of America believes Biden fairly won the 2020 election. You have to be a partisan Democrat not to notice the smell. So when Powell and Wood, who are lawyers with well-established reputations as stars in their profession, and who are not kooks by any definition, are confidently stating not only that the election was plagued with massive fraud and abuse, but that Trump will ultimately be declared the winner once it has all shaken out, that ought to be taken seriously. Even if what's being said appears, before we've seen the evidence, to be a bit on the fanciful side. And despite how hard those foul political winds are blowing, let's see that Kraken for ourselves. And let's hope it's more than just a plate of calamari. That's Scott McKay in the American Spectator. Crazy, disturbing, nutty stuff. And thanks, Cindy. I will post a link to that article on Facebook Live. Okay, so you'd have to dive in there and just go to the Steve Noble Show and watch the Facebook Live broadcast for today. And near the end of the broadcast where we're at right now, you'll see the link that I'm putting up presently. Okay, so you can get that article and share that for yourself. Scary, serious. These are not people given to hyperbole. They did not communicate like our president. These are hardcore, tough prosecutors, some of the best lawyers in the country, who really have no reason to go out there and start talking about conspiracy theories, because if that all falls through and they get nothing, that's going to dog them in their career, okay? They have a lot on the line here. And then people just, it's so easy just to check out, isn't it? Apathetic. Thanksgiving's coming up. We got family coming in. We got to travel. But don't do that. This is important. It's important for us. It's important for Trump, Biden. It's important for the survival of the country, which means it's also for our kids and our grandchildren, our posterity. And so we need to be prayerful about this. So before we hit the end of the show, I normally pray with my friends on Facebook Live, but I'm going to pray with you right now, okay? So let's pray together. I'm not praying as a partisan. I'm praying as a Christian who cares about justice and truth and law. And I care about the deleterious effects on 330 plus million people in America and billions around the world if America collapses. I am loving God and loving my neighbor by praying about this, okay? So please join me. Let's just finish up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that you are sovereign over all these things, that, Lord, we know as difficult as this is, as dark as this season is, as much chicanery as there is, as much evil as there is, that it's temporary. That one day Jesus is coming back. He'll place his foot on that Mount of Olives, split it in two, and take his rightful place on the earthly throne and bring the kingdom with him. And heaven will come down. And all this mess and this garbage, the needs of North Raleigh Ministries, hurting people, abortion, divorce, abuse, drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, pornography, addiction, all this mess is all going to be done away with. And there'll be the separation of the wheat and the chaff. And that's not going to be fun. Nobody's going to be smiling. But we thank you that that day will come. And there'll be no more tears, no more brokenness. We won't have to pray about anything. And we thank you for that. But Lord, right now, it's a big stinking mess. It's dark and getting darker. And evil seems to be running rampant. So we pray against the forces of evil who would destroy a country that, yes, has lots of imperfections, but has also been the number one purveyor, probably, of the gospel in the history of the world as a nation and a support for ministry and just helping people. So, Lord, we pray for truth to fall down like a river, that truth would win the day, that evil would be exposed, that schemes would be exposed. We pray for people like Sidney Powell and the other attorneys involved. We pray for witnesses, Lord. We pray for the truth to come out, for it to come out quickly. Not just for the sake of this election, but for the sake of this nation's future, our kids' future, and their kids' future. Lord, help us not to overreact, but also help us not to underreact, to lean into this in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the condition of this earth. We pray for truth and justice to prevail and to prevail quickly, and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll see you again soon. And like my dad always used to say,